I went off on a tangent this week. I was looking for something in my computer files about a eulogy that I had done a long time ago because I wanted to review something. And I got to looking at the list of eulogies that I've presented, and I'm only one of the many people who do that here. And I counted since 2012, so 13 years ago, and we've been doing this longer than that, but that's how far back my files went. I have presented a year's worth of eulogies if I delivered one a day. 365 different messages on this table. And I have a file of 35 eulogy messages yet to be delivered. So I'm going to try to catch up. If you'll just stay with me today, we're going to do 35 eulogies. You know, we come to this table and there is so much that we can say. Ron and I talk about that often when we first started this whole idea of devoting an hour to the table of the Lord, that we worried, will we have enough to say? I mean, without just beating to death 1 Corinthians 11 and Matthew 26. And we've been all over the Word. And we've been in the lives of so many characters and so many symbols and so many obscure passages that all bring us here, bring us to this table. Every week, bring us here. We call the guys who help deliver these trays to all of you. We say often of them, are you waiting on the table this week? And I thought, well, are there better words for that? You know, waiting on the table seems like an unusual phrase, but it's one I grew up with hearing all the time. It was the first job I had as a fledgling Christian down the road at MacDill Avenue when I first became a disciple. My first opportunity to serve the congregation was to wait on the table. And it was such a big deal, waiting on the table. You know, how do you do that? And where do you stand? And who do you look at people or do you look down? And what do you do with your hands? Do you put them behind your back like the military guys do? Or do you put them in front of yourself? And you sure don't put them in your pocket. I did that once and my mother shook her head. Don't do that. Waiting on the table. 10 years ago, Garrett Qualls delivered a message here on that very title, Waiting on the Table. And he had some really good things to say that I wrote down, not only things that he thought of, but I was writing down other things. And I've had that in my files for a long time. And I thought, I think it's been long enough that nobody remembers the essence of that. So I think, oh, one of you does. Okay, we'll go in a different direction. No, we won't. I want to talk to you about that concept, waiting on the table. And Tim was so helpful today in leading a couple of songs, one that I had talked to him about and another that hadn't even thought about. That last song leads so well to this. We'll talk about some of the phrases in those songs in just a few minutes. When you go to a restaurant, it used to be, they're called servers now, but it used to be they were called waiters. And the whole group of waiters were called the wait staff, waiting on the table. I want to give you three simple points to bring us to this table this morning, I hope in a way that will be profitable for you and will give glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Waiting on tables in a restaurant concept is the idea of serving others. You're there to wait for what is needed at that table. Oh, you need ketchup, you need a fork, another napkin, You need a refill on your water or your tea or your coffee? Would you like to look at the dessert menu? All of that is done by people who wait to hear what is needed on that table. What a great reference to the idea of serving others. The idea of being of service to people. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, the phrase is actually found, waiting on tables. It's actually a biblical term in some of the versions, the ESV and the NET, the NIV, the Christian Standard Bible, all have this phrase. The apostles are approached about those widows who were in need. They didn't have food. And people came to them and said, hey, our widows are being neglected. What can we do? And the apostles say, well, it is not for us to neglect the word in order to wait on tables, some versions say. Others say to serve the tables or serve others. Wait on tables. The apostles are not saying by that, that's a demeaning job. We shouldn't have to do that because we're greater than that. That's not their point. Because in actuality, they use a similar phrase when they talk about it is not for us to wait on tables, but to devote ourselves to the word and to prayer. And the word there for devoting ourselves is very similar, actually, in concept to the idea of waiting on tables. If I may paraphrase it, it is not for us to wait on tables because we need to wait on the word and prayer. It's an idea of service. You know, when we come to this table, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 reminds us of our responsibilities to each other. It says, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you've shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Ministering to the saints. He goes on to talk about your work and love. It's both a feeling and an action. Now look, I don't want to make too much out of this, but I have always loved, and I've mentioned it to you before, I've always loved the way we participate in this supper. There are some churches in North Carolina that I knew of that when the supper is served, everybody comes forward and it's laid out on the table as it is here, and everybody picks up the bread and they take that and they go back and sit down, and then they get up when it's time to take the cup and they come forward and they take the cup. Now, I have no objection to that. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it that way. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it the way with the units that we use for so long and that a lot of churches are still using. I have no objection to that. But I want to tell you something. There is something about my partaking of that bread and passing it on to the next person. Here, I'm sharing it with you. Some restaurants you go to are called family style. You know what that means. Family style. Paula and I went to a restaurant in Savannah, and it was family style. We were the only two in our party, and we were directed to a table with a bunch of people we didn't even know. We sat down with them. They looked at us. Why are you at our table? We said, they put us here. And then it began. Hey, could you pass me the peas? Hey, what is this? I don't know what this is. Oh, those are grits. You've never had grits? No, we're from up north. Oh, I'll pray for you. Grits, the ambrosia of the gods. Georgia ice cream, it's the best. So we told them about grits, and they tried it. They didn't get seconds, but they tried it. You know, can you pass me this? How about, can I have some more of that? Would you pass me this? And it becomes a mutual serving situation. And there's something about that camaraderie, that sharing together, that makes it special. So I love that we do this. I love that we pass the bread from person to person. We're not saying, here, try this. You know, oh, try this, you'll like it. But we're saying, let me share this with you. And we do the same thing with the cup. We pass the tray from person to person. The wait staff that will be up here in a few moments, they will help us. They'll pass it to us. And then we'll pass it from person to person. And we're sharing in that. The idea of serving one another. Can I help you with that? You know, Jesus did that on the night he was betrayed. On the night he took the supper with the disciples, he did something else that we remember and often are called back to. He washed their feet. In the context of serving them the supper of the Lord, he washed their feet. What service. What a heart of serving others. And doing that by his own precious, sinless hands. So when we talk about waiting on the table, you know, we're here today, and I want you to think about that as you pass this from person to person. Not that that's what's under consideration, but let that be a symbol of what we are called upon to do to each other. There's a reason why we come here to partake of this. It's to remember our community. The people to the left and right of you, in front of you and behind you, they are your family. You are called upon to serve them. And let this supper remind you of that. As our Lord served his people, so we should serve each other. But there's also this sense of waiting on the table. You know, we'll sometimes see something getting ready to happen. And in a game, I remember playing a game with somebody one time, and there was a person who wasn't as familiar with the game. And as they were moving around the board, the person sitting next to me said, "Wait for it, wait for it," knowing what was going to happen. For 6 days, we should be saying, "Wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming on the first day of the week." Not something we just do when we want to, where we want to, how we want to, but here in the community of believers. Not in this physical house, but in this house made up of all you living stones. The Lord has come to inhabit the place of his people. Wait for it. It's coming. Sunday is a very special day, and we should treat it that way. When I was growing up, there was a whole ritual in our household that my sister and I learned, and it was, you know, Sunday is coming. We got to get ready for it. We started getting ready for it on Saturday night. Our clothes were laid out. They were ironed on Saturday night, not Sunday morning. It wasn't put on whatever's there and rush for the door. It was planned anticipation. It's so funny because so many things have been coming together for me this week. I was in the car and I was thinking about this lesson. And you know what came on the radio? Sure you do. Carly Simon. Anticipation. Anticipation. It's making me wait. Making me wait. Christ is making us wait. Think about this. Think about what is coming. We anticipate the feast for which we wait, Tim led us this morning. And I love singing that song. It's a beautiful song. And I love sometimes our song leaders will sing that last phrase three times. Come take the bread. Come drink the cup. Come share the Lord. Come drink. Eat, share. And we sang a song this morning that I'm sure many of you thought, well, wait a minute, that's an invitation song. We sing that at the end. We're inviting people to become Christians. And I'm not saying that that's not in that song, but there are beautiful phrases in that song that talk about the anticipation we have to come here. All things have been made ready this morning. There have been people who putting this supper together the physical elements of it. And there are people who've been putting the spiritual elements of this supper together. And there are people who've been putting the songs together. And there have been people who prepared this building and got it all ready. All things are ready. Come to this feast. Come. If we do that once a year for Thanksgiving, what are we going to have? Weeks before, the Walker women are talking about what we're going to have. Are we going to make this? Are we going to have that? Who's preparing the turkey? Who's doing the dressing? Are we going to have it stuffed in the turkey or is it going to be in the oven? What are we going to do? Who's making the rolls? What kind of desserts? Where are we going to meet? How many chairs do we need? It goes on and on and on. And there's a sense in which you could go crazy thinking about it. But there's another sense in which the anticipation is built. Anticipation. It's making me wait. And we've come here. Part of the blessing is the anticipation. Especially in light of what I wanted to say to you today. I've been so looking forward to being with you today. And I say to all of you, all things are ready. You come to this feast. The table now is spread. Are you famishing for this relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you weary and you need refreshment? Come. Come to this table. You shall be richly fed. Hear that invitation. Whosoever will may come and participate in this feast of the Lord. And I want you to think about one more aspect of that before we go to our third and final point. You know, I love Westerns. You know that. Old Westerns. The ones that when I mention references to, John Shirley reminds me, no one under the age of 40 can relate to you, Ralph. None of them. They don't know what white hats and black hats are. And they don't know who Roy Rogers is. And they don't know who the Lone Ranger is. Oh, I want to pray for you. But in those old Westerns, they often had a chuck wagon that was out there on the cattle drive. And when dinner was ready, he was always named Cookie. I don't know why, because they didn't eat cookies, but Cookie, the guy who cooked, would get ready and he'd get a ringing bell going, a triangle. And they'd go, dinner time, dinner time. And he would ring the bell. And there were all those guys out there. Some of them were punching cows. Some of them were putting their brands on them. Others were feeding them. Some of them were taking care of the horses. They were doing all kinds of chores. Everything stopped. And they all came together to eat. All those varied things that were going on in their lives ceased. And they came to eat. So I don't know where you were yesterday or this morning. I don't know what all you were doing. But my guess is it's almost as varied as there are numbers of people in this room. I was doing this. I was doing that. Even this morning, I was doing this. I was thinking about that. I was here. I was there. And Christ rang the dinner bell. And he said, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. And all those things stopped. And you know, Jesus took a personal part in that. In Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 16. I'm not going to read that, but you can. In Mark chapter 12, 14 through 16, Jesus, in all that he's preparing in his death, his impending death, he tells the disciples, I want you to go into the town. I want you to go to this certain man, and you're going to go up to this room. And what does he say? Prepare the feast. Jesus is intimately involved in the preparation and the serving of that feast. The table. We've waited for it 6 days. And here we are. There's a third aspect, and we'll come to the table. And that was mentioned also in one of the songs that Tim led us, the last verse of Come Share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels tread. We'll gather soon. We'll be with our Lord and coming King. Anticipation. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus mentions the beauty of being with the people of God for eternity, and he puts it in this context. And for those of us who love all the aspects of eating together. And it's not about the food as much as it is about the opportunity to be with people. It says, and many will come from east and west and will sit at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, he said that to a Jewish audience. Because the Jews would have loved nothing more than to sit at a table with Abraham and say, would you pass me the salt? Or to say to Jacob, their great patriarch, would you like some more chicken? But for me, I think about the greats of the New Testament. I can't wait. I know I have to. But I am so anticipating the time when I can sit at this table with the great people like Apollos or Paul and say, I know you told it last week, but would you tell it again? What you went through in Ephesus. Anticipation. And it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. That we do this until the Lord comes. There is a sense in which today what we're doing is waiting for what Jesus promised in Mark 14, 25. I will not partake of this until I partake of it with you in my kingdom. Now, I know there's a sense in which even today, I believe he is with his people here and across town at other gatherings of his disciples. But there is a great sense that this cannot match what it is going to be like when Jesus presides at the table with the disciples. And when he says, if we do this in heaven, take, eat, this is my body. We proclaim his death until he comes. There's a Jewish custom at the Passover. And that custom is that they leave an open chair at the table. No matter how many people are there, they leave an open chair at the table for Elijah. You may say, why Elijah? Well, because Elijah is the one mentioned in Malachi chapter 4 as heralding the coming Messiah. And for the Jews, they're still waiting for that. So what they do is they leave the chair open with the idea being it's not filled yet. The Messiah hasn't come. When Elijah returns, then he will herald the Messiah. I think their theology is all wrong about that, but I love the concept. I love the idea that maybe as we partake of the supper this morning, you visualize an empty chair where the Lord should be to say, I'm here with you to partake of this. But not yet. Not yet. The chair is still empty. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what we're doing today. we often have a call and response here at the table many times, but at other times we do the same thing. I will say, Christ the Lord is risen, and you respond, Christ the Lord is risen indeed. I want to do that with you this morning as we come to this table, just that phrase and one more beyond it. Christ the Lord is risen. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Christ the Lord is coming. Christ the Lord is coming indeed. Anticipation. The table is waiting for us.